Today, we have a very special candid episode. We have two guests in studio and two online. And with us, we have Jeremy Ezell, Sean Crawford, Amy Miller, and Seth Rice from the Apostles Worship Team. And they've just released an album very recently on singing the Psalms. And welcome to Candid Conversations. Those
thanks
on
for
the computer,
having us.
Thanks in studio. Yeah. And everyone except for Sean has been on the podcast before.
That's right.
So,
oh,
welcome.
Good welcome,
to know.
Sean.
Yeah, welcome. Well,
does he get a gift?
Ooh, we need a lollipop.
Yeah, he's got a candid mug.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That can go home with you.
I like it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We're going to get permission first.
You'll get the dirty mug, though. So, you know, I'm just thinking about people who are listening to this. You got people who are members of churches. You will have people who are play music in their churches. You volunteer positions. You've got church leaders, pastors, really kind of a spectrum of audience. People who will have heard you all play, who have watched Apostles Online or have listened to other episodes of Candid and heard you guys play. And so there's just such a joy for me to be able to share you all with our listeners. We are extremely blessed to have each and every one of you on the Apostles music team. And so I'm just thrilled that people get to hear your heart behind the music, the writing process. I mean, even people have kind of heard our little banter even here at the beginning, and just how much fun you guys are to be around and to be encouraged by. And so maybe tell us a little bit about Apostles Worship. What are sort of the foundational things that you guys have set out? Again, I'm thinking there might be some people who are involved in music in their church or want to help the music in their church. Give us a little picture of vision and, you know, what is your goals as you set out?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jonathan. We are blessed to have you as a pastor in our church and your dad as our pastor. And it's a blessing to get to serve the Church of the Apostles and the Ministry of the Word. That is the core foundation of who we are as a team, and what we're trying to do is to serve the proclamation of the gospel. We see music as a tool of discipleship.
Mm.
It is a part of discipleship. The worship gathering, the gathered people of God singing together, singing the Word of God together, being encouraged and edified in it, but also praising God through it, singing His Word back to Him. And so Colossians 3:16 really is our core verse, that we have it up on the wall in our music room, and that's kind of what we do, is to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in our hearts to God.
Just one thing of God, this one thing I will seek, just to rest in the arms of God, to be as close as I can be. If I'm there, whom shall I fear? And if I'm there, what should I feel? When I believe that I will see your goodness this side of heaven. And I believe that I will see the beauty of your promise this side of heaven. Christ my light, Christ my shield, Christ my hope, to this I yield all my days.
If I can answer that question, are we in whatever thing it is? Is it making much of Christ?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's kind of what I just try to boil it down to.
Which is really, I mean, that's my goal in preaching.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's right.
And so there is this partnership. I'm not trying to do anything beyond all that.
Right.
Yep.
Because when you do that, then people will receive the instruction, the training, the teaching, the hope, the encouragement that they need in their life in that moment. I can't give you the specific tools to do that. I can give you the one tool, right? Or I can present the one tool as best I can.
Yeah.
And then how the Spirit works in your life is, you know, right. Yeah. It's up to Him.
Yeah.
All we can do is kind of usher people in and then,
yeah.
You know, allow the,
right. Yeah.
The Spirit to do His work.
That's right. One of the things that I love so much about our team is that we're really four of, Amy, jump in here. What about 30 folks? Is that right? 20,
yeah.
20 mm-hmm. something, 30?
Mm-hmm.
Who serve Church of the Apostles and in multiple services.
Yeah.
So you have the 9 a.m. service, 10:30
yeah.
service, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, young adult ministries, you know, Rivers of Life ministries. I mean, there's music happening all over the place, and
yeah.
the team is wide and big. And
student just, ministries.
Student
did you
ministry.
That?
I mean, yes,
that's...
students are leading students in praises.
Yeah.
And so it's just a big, beautiful team, and we're grateful for it.
I want to make sure Amy and Seth get a word edgewise just because they're not studio. I don't want to ignore them. But there's this, I mean, just thinking about like from a discipleship perspective, music is a great discipler, right? Seth and you and I have talked about this where it's like sometimes people don't like the repetition of phrases, but I mean, that's sometimes like the goal of preaching. I'm like, I have to repeat it something so many times before it actually like gets into someone's mind. Often music does that, right? You sing something enough times and I'm sure we've all been guilty of singing a song and then being like, what was I just singing? What was that? I was just kind of in a sort of trance or something. But the reality is like when it does begin to penetrate your heart and you say, well, man, what is it that I'm saying? Think about these words. Mm. Think about these lyrics and then allowing them to minister to you. But also on another level, you have kind of what you're talking about here, which is you're ministering in different venues, so to speak, in different avenues, but even like with students and preparing them and training them, you as musicians are helping them get better as musicians, but also how to minister out of the ministry of music.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of part of our goal is raising up another generation of worship leaders. So passing on what we have all learned to other folks.
Yeah, because the reality is, I mean, think about this. I think of a lot of churches that I've been in where the music had a little role and it was, you know, we sing our three songs at the beginning and then we sing our two, three songs at the end. And I'm just here to do my job, to play the instrument, sing the best I can, whatever, and then move on. Sometimes churches don't get the vision of
yeah.
like, how am I ensuring the next generation of people in the church are being equipped and you know, if one of you were to leave or go somewhere, it's not like the church tanks. I remember being in a small
right.
church in college and our music minister, and we always kind of were like, I mean, he's okay. He's not great. And then he left and it was like, oh my goodness, we are really desperate. And then he came back to visit and we were all like, you got to come back, you know. But what he had not done was sort of set them up for success.
Yeah.
And when he did go on mission or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Good. Glad I can answer my own question.
It's good.
Hey, I'll jump in on
yeah.
your note of just like,
yeah.
you know, I think, I mean, even me, I can go a Sunday morning and I'm 2-3 songs in. And I'm like, wake up, Amy. Like, this is not a sing-along. I always think of it like that. Like, you can do a sing-along and it's great and it can still glorify God. But when the switch happens of like, okay, now you're in prayer, and Jeff Falkowski talks about this a lot, that music is so much of a prayer
mm-hmm.
as you're just with the Lord. And what I also really love is that during worship, you're not on your phone, you're not sitting down. There's really nothing to do except like commune with
yeah.
God.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because
point.
Everyone else is doing that too. And
right.
so it's just this really awesome time of just hearing the word you're saying. And I've also been encouraged by hearing someone else singing next to me, and I can tell they're singing with like serious conviction in their heart,
as long as they sing well, right?
Right. No.
Yeah. Joyful noises,
so,
everyone, joyful noises.
And so yes, I think if we can get past the sing-along stage but
that's
into
right.
you know, real communion with the Lord, that's where it is.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question about that, because I think Amy brings up a really great point. There's a sense in which when I sing, I do feel like it's just me and the Lord, and I'm offering my, you know, my praise, or I'm thinking a thought and or being moved in my heart or whatever, and there's this kind of sense of where it's just me and the Lord, me and Jesus, we're here. But the reality is there's also a sense in which I'm here with the body of Christ who are also lifting up their voices. So it's, again, another little bit of a both-and mm-hmm. element going there. And you know, we live in a very sort of individualistic culture where it is very much just me and whatever I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of lose the sense of the appreciation of the chorus, the, you know, the rest of those. And even yeah. oftentimes when I'm preaching, I'm thinking about people who I know who are going through whatever I'm preaching about and thinking, wow, they're coming. And I know that person's story and they're coming along with where we're going with the sermon. And I think the same sense with singing, right? It's yeah. like we're all, you can look at someone and see them, you know, with tears streaming down and think, I know their story. I know what they're going through. Mm. And it's ministering to me that they're doing that, that yep. they are taking a posture of praise and worship where they could easily be bitter, upset, angry, whatever it is. And then that ministers to me, gosh, what, you know, are you dealing with things in your own heart yep. in this time?
So we are individuals. We are individually called into the family of God.
Right.
But we're called into the family of God to be the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the ministry philosophy, the worship philosophy of the Church of the Apostles, and I'm not saying that this is prescriptive, right? This
right.
is just descriptive
yes. right.
of what, well, this is just what we do. This is the ministry philosophy that was handed down to us when we picked up the torch and carried the mantle into these most recent years, that the congregation is the choir, and we are conducting the choir. We are leading the choir in praises to God.
Right, as opposed to the, I've bought a ticket to a concert
exactly.
and I'm going to receive.
That's right. We're not performing for anyone.
Mm.
And we talk about performance because there is a performance aspect. I mean, you're preaching.
Sure.
There are performance elements to it.
Mm.
But that just means that you want to present the word well.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's going to do the work.
Right, yeah.
The word of God is going to work.
Yeah.
He is going to do his work.
And performance could be distinguished from, like, acting.
Right.
Like, I'm not being false.
Right.
I'm actually, the performance is just putting on display
yeah.
the reality, yeah. the
and
authenticity.
Actually, I can't remember the guy's name, but I heard a guy talk about this in acting school. I thought it was really, really good.
Wendell Berry?
No, it wasn't Wendell Berry.
The famous actor, Wendell Berry. Yeah.
Thomas Goodwin.
That's right. That's probably going to come up at some point.
The Puritan actor.
The Puritan actor. Yeah. Oh, gosh. For those of you who don't know, I often quote Thomas Goodwin or Wendell Berry, and the team just... there's a lot of groans and eye rolls.
Hey, if it's not one of those guys, it's Phil Collins.
Yeah.
here it comes, the Thomas Goodwin quote. Here's that Pearson.
It's good, though. We need more Wendell Berry and Thomas
oh,
Goodwin.
Oh, man. I saw a guy talking about acting and that acting should be actually you just being yourself and presenting this content as yourself,
right?
You know, rather than trying to perform or play someone else
inauthentically.
Words are hard. Inauthentically,
right.
Yeah. You know, but so yeah, I think that there's just that we want to bring ourselves to bear on these songs in true adoration of God, and so we're trying to. Hey, you know what? Come. Let's gather together. Let's sing praises to the Lord as the family of God, as the people of God, joining the chorus of heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
Jonathan, you said something earlier about songs being repetitive, or we've also kind of talked about the importance of worship and singing with the body. Like a friend of mine once told me, we have been given voices for the encouragement of other people because you can sing to yourself.
Yeah.
But God has given you a voice to use so that that can encourage the person next to you.
That's right.
If when you are in those times and you know the story of the person who's sitting two rows away from you and you see, you know, they're going through a hard time or maybe they're going through a great time, whatever it is, and you see them worshiping the Lord in spite of their circumstances or whatever it may be, that encourages me because I'm like, hey, this is encouraging me. If they can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth in what they're going through right now, there's no reason why should I not? You know, you were saying something like the encouragement of the songs is like, I love sermons, but how often do you remember your favorite sermon that you've heard?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a handful of them.
Dig.
The songs. What?
I said that was a dig.
I don't even remember my own sermons.
Yeah. Well, that's no dig. There's something about putting the word to melody that can stick with us throughout the week.
That's right.
The Psalms are repetitive, and somehow there are angels around the throne of God who haven't gotten past holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty for however long they've been doing that.
Yeah.
And they don't seem tired of it. Mm-hmm. So why should we?
I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. My help comes from you.
Released a new EP with songs that were based on a sermon series that Dad did through the Psalms. And so maybe walk us through those songs. You know, for me, I'm always interested in the writing process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you pick out which words? Are you just singing straight from the psalm itself? I remember working with a musician in Australia, and he was like, I need a word that rhymes like this, but it has this cunt. And I was like, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. You know? He's like, no, that word won't work. So kind of walk us through, not to the nitty gritty of that kind of detail, but just, you know, how do you not completely make it sound like it's saying something completely different than the psalm? How do you keep the originality of what the scripture is saying and getting across to people, and in a way, you know, in a sense, in a catchy way that people can sing over and over again and don't tire of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. First, before we jump into that, I may not answer that one, but I do want to say that...
Great question.
I mean, let's...
I'm going to do something completely different now.
I just want to say that for our team, one of the... Going back to what you were talking about and what Sean was talking about, that the knowing of the people is really important. We're hopeful that these songs are encouraging to other people outside of our church.
Yeah.
But we didn't write them for that.
Right.
We wrote them for the Church of the Apostles.
Yeah, the local church. Yeah.
That's right. And we're not on this podcast to, like, promote an album necessarily. We are, but we're here to talk about what God's doing in the team and through the team and just the beauty of what the Lord has been doing. We wrote these songs to support the ministry of the word that Dr. Youssef was preaching on those Sundays.
Mm.
That was the intention.
Mm.
And then Seth, going to give honor and credit where credit's due, Seth was like, we got these songs, y'all. Why don't we just record these songs? We're like, okay, let's record the songs. And so that's what we did. We didn't set out to make a record. We set out to support the ministry of the word. And then the record happened because people were asking to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place to hear it again was on the YouTube channel.
Right,
you know?
Right. So this gives them a central place to...
Right, exactly. Yeah. So now the body of Christ can go back and, you know, and we'll have chord charts up on the mm-hmm. website. We'll have all the things that people can just download
use
it at home for private worship. That's the goal. To your question, writing the Psalms, anybody want to jump in on that?
Well, I'll say in terms of like, typical songwriting, there's a lot of depth there and trying to honor, you know, scripture and everything. In this case, some of these were very easy because they were already songs, like specifically Psalm 46.
Mm. 47?
Psalm 47. Yes, Psalm 46.
Yeah, that one.
46 is next year.
I think Shane and Shane already did that one. So
we were sitting there after a meeting, and Jeremy and I were left in the music room, and it was like, we got any ideas on the psalm this week? And he read through it, and we were like, that sounds like a song already. So we just kind of sang it, and it just kind of, I mean, it was already written. Sing praises to God.
If anybody's a songwriter out there and they want to start working on writing psalms, one of the best places to start is just to go to Isaac Watts' Psalter, and you can just find it online. I mean, you just Google Isaac Watts' Psalter, and you'll find almost the whole psalm book set to English meter. Now, it's Old English, and you'll have to update it, but if you just need a place to start, that can be a resource right there. I mean, he's a fantastic songwriter and wrote a ton of stuff, you know. I mean, that's 300 years old now, but it's still the starting place is there.
Yeah.
And in years past, we've borrowed from that. You know, a song "My Life Is Yours" that we did back in 2018 was based on Isaac Watts' Psalter. Yeah, that one came really quickly. Now Seth's song, Psalm 23, "Surely Goodness." I'll let you speak to that, but that took a minute.
Yeah. The interesting thing about songwriting is there's so many ways to get to the destination. That I would say out of the whole Psalms EP, this one was probably the longest. I came up with the initial idea actually in 2020. I had written a verse, I had a chorus, I had a whole song written, but I was like, gosh, I like these certain parts, but I'm like, man, I feel like this chorus is good. I feel like these other parts aren't really supporting it as well as, so it just kind of sat on the shelf. We recorded and did some other projects here at Apostles. This just kind of goes to show how there are songs that you can write that can be exactly for the moment, like Sing Praises to God that Jeremy and Sean wrote. It was a song for the moment and it fit the moment, but there are also times that the Lord can give you songs and it may not be time for that yet. Because this one kind of took about 5 years to fully be completed. So started the idea in 2020, and then maybe a couple of years later I was out on the road with our friend Mac Powell, and I just kind of showed him the song. I was like, I think this is really cool. And he listened to it one time and he was like, well, what if you ended the chorus like this instead of this? And I was like, oh gosh, yeah. Like that makes it way better.
Yeah. I've got 4 Grammys. So it's good. You know?
Yeah. So
is that the only person you could go to?
You were like, I don't think I like that. You don't know anything about songwriting.
Yeah. So showed it to him. And then I was like, okay, the chorus is good. And then I was like, I'm still not loving these verses. So then probably another year later, I sent it to Amy, and all I did was just send the chorus. And I said, songs based on Psalm 23, first thing that pops in your head, like, give me a verse idea. And she sent me a voice memo probably like 15 minutes later, and I was like, that's it. That's great. So it was definitely an unconventional way how that song kind of came together.
Mm-hmm.
But Ames had the whole first verse. Mac and I finished up the chorus. I wrote a second verse, and then the original bridge I had ended up sticking. And so, yeah, long story short, took about 5 years to get that one done. So if it's not good by then, you know. Let's just scrap it.
time to quit your day job.
Exactly.
That's great.
As I keep walking in the way of the Lord, oh, I lack nothing, 'cause you're all I want. When I'm found in the valley, I won't despair, for you are with me.
Ultimately, the common thread in all this is the Psalms are about Jesus.
Yeah.
They are the songs of Jesus, right? So this is God's songbook that he has given to us through writers like the sons of Korah and David and Asaph. And so you've got this rich, rich songbook.
Mm.
And we often forget about the doxologies in Romans and the Christ hymn in Philippians 2 and in Colossians 1:15, you know, the Song of Moses, Song of Mary. And there's so many songs in Scripture.
Yeah.
I think if we ask the question that Sean was asking earlier, how do we make much of Christ? Where is Christ in this?
Right.
And as I'm writing the song, that's what it really, more than anything, this is an opportunity for me to spend time with God and with the Holy Spirit teaching me where Jesus is, showing me Jesus in this text. And even if the song ends up being terrible and we don't use it, I've spent time in God's Word.
Yeah,
I've spent time being discipled by the Lord and by my brothers and sister, and you know, and it's worth the time.
Well, and it's interesting picking up on some threads that have been kind of swirling around here, which is you guys have a really great team dynamic. And I'm pretty sure that's not always the case, especially around music. You can get really big personalities who are insistent on their way and that sort of thing. But you guys have a really, and I'm sure, again, I'm sure people are listening to this that are saying, yeah, our church team really struggles with this or that. How do you create that culture where it's level, everybody's input is valued and appreciated and carefully thought through, and how do you kind of pursue that?
I will chime in and say I think Jeremy has done a great job setting that culture for our team. His whole model is, he describes it as an upside-down pyramid where he is the bottom that is serving, you know, goes up, and that kind of
servant leadership.
Yeah, that just gives a security and a confidence in the team that I think allows that, you know, collaboration to feel comfortable.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Don't cry.
I won't.
Also, don't cough.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Yeah, I'll try not to cough. That was what actually Jono told me before we did this podcast. He was like, maybe we should have some other people on too, because you're probably going to cry.
I did say that.
Yeah.
Someone can fill in the gaps while Jeremy's getting his tissue box.
While I'm pulling myself together. I mean, your dad and I have that in common.
There's only so much editing that we can do here.
That's right. Yeah.
But in the same vein, like, we appreciate your sensitivity. Mm. And I think along the lines of what Sean's saying, it takes somebody who has a heart for other people in that leadership position, which is the position you hold, to create and foster a team and a group that has that confidence and trust that, you know, those that are in charge are actually leading us well. And so I can contribute freely into this and not feel pigeonholed or sidelined or any of those things.
Yeah. Well, and you know this well, just in pastoral ministry, the Lord has not given us any authority to lord it over people. Mm. My entire role, what God has called me to, is to serve, to wash feet, to wait tables, to shepherd, to encourage and to edify, to point people back to Jesus. He is the one who has all authority in heaven and, and on earth.
And he's the one that sets the example
of
servant leadership.
Exactly. And so my goal is to figure out what is Seth's greatest strengths and where he is most gifted, and let me figure out a lane for him to be able to sprint in and to run the race really well. And the same for Amy, the same for Sean, and the same for Hillary Thaxter, who's not on this, and Lauren Ezel, my wife, who's not on this, and the rest of our team who's a part of this. We've got so many people who are key people in our team, and my goal is just to figure out how can I help them run the race that they're called to run well. That's where that comes from, and I think that leadership's less about power and authority and more about responsibility.
I've been a part of a lot of teams and worship ministry teams, and the reality is if it was just one person, decisions would be really easy because it's only one person who's getting to say, hey, I would like to do this. Here's
Let's execute. Yeah.
Yeah. But just kind of the really and truly like the art of deferring to one another, like understanding that the best idea is the one that we as a group have come to a group joint decision, because the best idea in the room is the one that we're all in agreement on. Mm. I mean, you see that in scripture, like in Acts, like at least a handful or a couple handfuls of time, you see the apostles saying, this felt good to us and the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just Paul or just Peter just making these unilateral decisions.
Right.
That's
right. Confirmation. It was,
and sometimes there can be a rub there, but at I mean, you see that in scripture as well. But at the end of the day, what our goal is, not being so easily offended on every little thing and understanding that my preferences are just that, their preferences. Mm. So if Amy and Sean write a song, my goal, if I'm producing that song, is to not put my thumbprint on it, but to say, what do you guys want out of this? Mm-hmm. How can I serve that? We actually even had a scenario where Amy and I wrote this song, and I was like, Sean, can you like take 5 minutes to just come and play some keys on this? Yes. It can be sometimes something as simple as like she was hearing the timing of it in this certain way, and I was hearing it in this other, and we brought Sean in as the tiebreaker. and so Sean was
what
like,
do you
well,
like
hearing
better?
This way.
Choose wisely.
Yeah, I think we're still not sure on that one.
This is going to tell us who you like more, but go ahead.
He chose what I want.
Just for clarity,
I did win that, and we re-recorded the whole thing. So.
There you go.
Amy is the favorite. That's cool. I'm cool with that.
You're right, though. It's such a relief to be able to feel comfortable enough to like say stuff like that. What a blessing, because we all want all of the music that comes from Apostles Worship to be great. And we all have different styles, which is really cool to see come through, like Jeremy and Lauren and Sean, Seth and I tend to kind of have a similar style. I mean, even yesterday we were talking about a song we're working on for Christmas, and I said, as soon as these words came out of my mouth, I was like, did I just say that? I said, yeah, I think you should redo that vocal. to Jeremy. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like super critically.
It was terrible. You should re-sing that. Actually, you should probably never sing again. Let's just make that clear.
What would you say you do here?
That's right. Yeah.
What is like, if you could evaluate your work, was that like 1 to 10?
That's right. How do you feel like you did?
But it was just, good. It was fun to be able to just bring that up and say, or just kind of wave a flag every now and then and be like, hey guys, is where we're headed, where we want to go right now? Mm-hmm. Is everybody ready for this? Where's the cart? Where's the horse? Like, mm-hmm. let's, you know, just kind of feeling comfortable to ask harder questions. It's awesome. It's a good place.
Yeah, it's calling the best out of one another at the end of the day.
Yep, that's right.
You know, that's part of our goal, whether it's the same song that I was just talking about. We actually had Sean play on the song in one key, and Amy sang a whole vocal and everything. And I was like, I think you could sing this higher. You should sing it higher. I was like, okay, Sean, I'm going to redo this entire demo. Can you come and play this? And it ended up actually being way better, but it was just sometimes it takes somebody else to say, hey, I think you can not necessarily like do better, but sometimes it's just like, hey, I know you are capable of this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's shoot for this. It's just calling the best out of one another and holding one another to the accountability of shooting for excellence.
Mm. Yeah. And this is applicable not just in music.
That's right.
But any kind of team dynamic.
Yeah.
Which is profound.
Yeah.
You can take that model and stick it anywhere, and really that's what people would desire to be a part of an organization or a team that's healthy, that you can have disagreement and not make it personal.
That's right.
And have the same goal of doing everything with excellence.
Yeah. And I think that's Romans 12:9, right? Mm-hmm. Let love be genuine and not hypocritical.
Right.
Like, let's actually love one another well.
Right. Yeah.
And pursue godliness together. Mm. Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the teaching of the apostles, to the breaking of bread and fellowship, and then to the prayers. Mm. That's part of our vision is we have our small group time on Wednesday afternoons at 2:00 where we go through a book of the Bible and we just ask simple questions about Jesus and how this is encouraging us to follow Christ. And we, you know, if we're going to do ministry together, we want to do life together. We meet quarterly. Amy had this great idea a few years ago and was like, hey, I want us to do all these, you know, quarterly gatherings where we do this stuff and you cast some vision and all these things. And I was like, that sounds exhausting. I don't want to do that at all. And then I just said, you know what? Why don't you just do that? Why don't you plan that? Why don't you just make it happen? I will be a part of it. And I'll show up and I will do whatever you want me to do. And that's exactly what we did, you know, and they've been amazing. So those have been such encouraging times. Yeah, and Seth a second ago said a trigger word for me of that word excellence, which I think is absolutely true, and I'm not this not correcting him in any way. But one of the things that we do say constantly is that excellence is born out of affection.
Mm.
That excellence is an outcome, but it's not our primary goal.
Right.
That our primary goal is loving Christ and loving one another, and then excellent things are going to happen because of that.
Come now to Jesus' feet, you weary souls who seek for rest. His kindness you will meet. Come now to Jesus' feet, if you're wandering alone, feeling and unknown, if you've fallen into painful pits of grief, well, come now, sinner, to the throne, and with confidence draw close to find His mercy sufficient for our need. Come now to Jesus' feet.
creative name. It's brilliant. Psalms.
Good luck finding that in your search engine.
Lost sleep.
We just wanted to be a very original.
Psalms.
Unique to us.
By the people I listen to on Candid. I'm sure that'll come up. Okay, and there's, you've got 5 songs on that album, and then you guys have a song that you recorded last year, We Give Thanks, and that's going to...
That's a single. It's actually already out. Yep. Seth, I'll let you speak to this. It's a Seth Rice song, beautiful song, and yeah, love it. Go for it, dude. Talk about it.
Here's your softball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Softball. Yeah, so this was a song that Jeremy and I wrote that the... An interesting thing about
I'm going to stop him there because I barely had anything to do with this. So he gave me credit for it, but it was pretty much already done when he came brought it to me.
Put the word thanks in there, and that'll be good.
This is one of Seth's habits. He's like overly generous with his songwriting credits. So
okay, so I had this song idea, and I actually think I remember talking with you about this as well, Jonathan, because we had been singing this song. As a church for, gosh, maybe 2 or 3 years before we recorded and released the song. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, there's not a lot of songs that are like explicitly Trinitarian that are upbeat songs. A lot of slower ones for that. But I was also just really, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5 was really kind of like, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus to give thanks always in all circumstances. And I was like, okay, if we pair that with Psalm 100, this song basically wrote itself. So we released this song around Thanksgiving last year, but I think this was another song, if I remember correctly, this was another 2020 song, like when we... I had a lot
COVID
of time.
COVID was good for you.
I don't know if anybody else had a lot of time on their hands, but I just wrote a lot of songs.
Building their backyards out. You were writing songs.
Yeah. I was writing songs that would be released 4 or 5 years later. So it's a song that we've grown to love. We love playing it. Yeah, and it's based from Psalm 100. It's based from 1 Thessalonians 5. Just a great opener song, upbeat song that's just simply saying, it's just, we give thanks to the Father, we give thanks to the Son, we give thanks to the Spirit, in them our joy is one. And that in every situation, we can give thanks because this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So as simple as that, if you want a song that puts that language to melodies, there you go.
Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship Him with gladness and joyful song. It is He who made us, and we His people. We give thanks to the Father. We give thanks to the Son. We give thanks to the Spirit. In them our joy.
Songs are still coming, you know, so we've got the Holy Not Yet coming soon too, which is a song that I wrote with a guy in Nashville actually, but I started an idea for Mac, and then Mac was like, no, that's terrible, I don't want to do that. He didn't actually say that, but
he likes Seth's songs.
That's right, he likes Seth's songs better. That's right. I just had this idea of a song that was talking about that what Christ began on the cross is a work that is not yet completed in its fullness in the earth. That it's a finished work in justification, salvation.
Yes,
but it's not a finished work in recreation. Mm-hmm. in that all things have, you know, the consummation of the bride and our husband Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's still longing anticipation.
Yeah, we're still
in the midst of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it parallels with some struggles that my wife and I have had with having children and things like that. And there's other podcast episodes you can listen to, Candid, years ago that talked about that. But we have longings in our heart. Each one of us have longings in our heart that we've not experienced the fulfillment of. Mm-hmm. And that is actually pointing to the reality that there's a true and eternal longing.
Mm.
Here it comes.
There it goes.
That will be fulfilled on the last day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord descends, and we will go to be with the Lord forever in the new heavens and new earth. And so that's what the Holy Not Yet is really pointing to, and it's really communicating this longing that we have. And that's going to be coming out for Advent this December. So.
Which is perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to put the link to Apostles Worship in the show notes, social media links, and all the sort of iTunes, Spotify information. So make sure you all listen to Psalms and the Holy Not Yet coming out December 10th. What else should we talk about? We've got however long.
It's great.
Seth, you're a foodie.
Yeah.
What are you making for Thanksgiving?
Give us that turkey brine, bro.
I'll have to do an official like finish at the end, but we'll
that's good.
I'm having fun, so I want to keep going.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of which, so the Michelin Awards were last night.
Oh.
Is that like an air on TV situation?
They don't air it on TV, but on here's YouTube. An interesting thing.
They should.
It was honestly.
Better than the most awards, of the other stuff on there.
Yeah, the awards were held in my wife's hometown of Greenville, South Carolina this year.
Mm.
And interestingly, Atlanta for the last 2 years has been the only place kind of in the true South that has had the ability to get recognized for Michelin stuff. But this year they opened it up to all of the South. So Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, all these. So a lot of fun stuff. Yeah. So like one of my wife and I's favorite restaurants in Greenville was awarded a Michelin star.
That's
so
awesome.
Cool.
Whoa.
It's about to get a lot more expensive.
I was about
so
to
I'm
say, I think you're, it's not going to be your favorite anymore.
Give us a little Thanksgiving turkey tip. Like, how are you going to do your turkey?
Okay. Well,
how long in the microwave?
Yeah, how long in the microwave?
Yeah, that. So I'm going to buck the system here. I don't think turkey is that good.
Oh.
So I'm more of a, let me do some roast chickens and maybe like some prime rib vibes.
Okay.
Yeah, lamb is a really big one in other parts of the world.
Yes, I also love lamb. So, but I have heard a good friend of mine that I cook with a lot, he actually told me that you can go and get like the like split turkey breast, and that those are way easier to cook than like the whole huge bird. You can brine for 24 hours in buttermilk and salt.
That sounds good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and then you put it on the smoker, and there you go. I've been told that that's the best way to do turkey. I've never done that, but I have it on good authority that it works pretty well.
Nice.
I have a question. Is it true the Michelin Award was just a ploy to sell more tires?
Oh.
Yes.
It is. They are affiliated.
Well, I think that was the whole thing.
Because you have to drive to get to the restaurant?
Yeah, they were. Oh, okay. They would say, hey, this restaurant's worth driving this far for, was like the whole thing.
That is legit how it came about. So literally, restaurants are getting their highest acclaim from a tire company.
That's amazing.
It is a little, that's not what you would expect.
It is where the rubber meets the road.
Yes. Wow.
Anyways.
Take Jonathan out.
Uh. this is going in outtakes, I'm pretty sure.
Jonathan's like, I'm hearing a word that now that the puns are coming out, we have to stop now.
Oh, gosh. Are you guys
Jeff's
tired
not paid
of that,
that much to, to stick around for this.
No, that's true, though. It literally was a ploy by the Michelin Tire Company to sell more tires because they're like, this restaurant is worth driving to. That was a great point, Sean.
Yeah. Excellent.
Excellent point, Sean. Thank
well
you.
Done. Yes, thank you yes. for all that.
We've come full circle.
We have. Okay.
Can we get this podcast sponsored by Michelin, please?
Yeah, we're working on it.
We're working on it right now, actually.
We'll pull some strings, and I don't have a good
Thanksgiving
tire.
Service is worth driving to.
We'll put the pedal to the metal.
There you go. It's that was
yes.
balanced.
So close. That was good.
Sorry.
What would Wendell Berry say about all this?
Yeah, he would say, don't use tires. Why are we driving cars? Get out.
Sponsored by yeah,
doesn't
horseshoes.
He say you should do your work quietly?
Yeah, let us do our work quietly like the snow.
Seth said, sponsored by horseshoes.
That's right, sponsored by horseshoes. Well, and here is where the Thomas Goodwin's going to come in, because in Return of Prayers, he talks about how one of the reasons we doubt that God answers prayer is because we fail to give thanks when he does answer prayer. Mm. We fail to actually thank him for the ways that he's answered our prayers. And then the outworking of that is that we forget what we've prayed for. We forget how he's answered. We forget how he's worked. And so we don't set up these Ebenezers in our lives where we recognize how God has met us, and we revisit those moments when we're dealing with other trials. You know, it just perpetuates this ingratitude.
Yeah.
And how should we expect anything from the king if we're not thankful for what the king has already given? Mm. If we forget the king's graciousness and kindness and goodness to us. Mm. And we have an audience with him constantly. Mm. And so that's, to your point, that's vital for us to stop and just give thanks for the ways that God has met us and how he has provided, how he has answered prayer, the myriad of ways he's done that. So,
have you guys heard of George Mueller? Like he was
He ran orphanages and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but prayer warrior. Yeah, a really cool part of his story is that he actually had journal after journal after journal where he wrote down specific prayers, like the dates of them, and on the other side of the paper, he would write when it was answered and a date and all of that. It sounds like an exaggeration, but I think when he died, they cleaned out his like office study. And they found hundreds of journals with thousands of prayers.
I've heard that.
That he had documented. Mm. And I'm like, I actually did that at one point in time in my life, and it was pretty amazing. Mm. And it was especially during a time where there was a lot of tough things going on. Mm. And there were a lot of big prayers and a lot of very specific prayers that were being asked. And it was pretty amazing to look back. I actually still have that journal, so pretty amazing thing to look back on.
It's good. Mm. Yeah. Lauren and I have a prayer wall in our house. We just write something very simple up there, and when the Lord has answered it, we mark it off. Mm. That he has, just as a reminder to us of how God has answered. And it's profound to just sit there and look at it. I was looking at it the other day and just seeing all of the answered prayer, the ways that he's met us. It's great.
We give thanks to the Father. We give thanks to the Son. We give thanks to the Spirit. In them our joy is one. In every situation. Oh, in everything. This is the
This has been, of course, such a special episode. The most guests I've ever had. Actually, no, one other time we had four people, but I'll say this one was more fun. I'm not going to let you find out who the other one was. Guys, Seth, Amy, Sean, Jeremy, thank you guys so much. Thank you for your ministry through music. Thank you for sharing these songs with us. And I do hope that our listeners will go and download this, listen to it, put it on repeat, listen to it through the holiday seasons and beyond, and it will bless you. But just a special thank you to all four of you for taking the time to be on Candid Conversations.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Monica.
If you enjoyed this episode, will you please share it with a friend? And we will see you next week. We enter in.